Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm the author of Trickle Down Tyranny and your host. Oh, I just went on my website. That's what happens every time you do. And the question is, what does Romney need to do, in your opinion, to finally move out ahead and win the election? Because we know he's not ahead. We know that they're running kind of neck and neck. The big fear that I have is that the core base, the conservative base, will not come out in great numbers to vote for a mediocre candidate like Romney. It's as simple as that. I don't know how else to put it. They may not dislike Obama enough. Let's put it this way. They dislike Obama enough, but they don't like Romney enough to come out and vote for him. That's the way I'm seeing it. If you were to ask me what the problem is that Romney is too wimpy. Romney's just limp-wristed. Romney's playing it too safe. And the conservative base wants, frankly, a more vociferous campaign. They want someone to rip into Obama and say it like it is, in plain English. He's kowtowing to him. And they don't want to come out and vote for a wimp. That's my opinion. What's your opinion? New York, W-O-R, Chris. What does Romney need to do to win? What's your opinion?
Michael, he has to attack. But the key is he can't attack on Obama's past. That didn't work 4 years ago, and it won't work now.
You're 100% right. No one cares about his birth certificate and the way he went to school at the end of the day.
Absolutely, they really don't. Now, I have a nephew that saw the movie over the weekend, and I was astounded. Now, the movie, if they traced it to Republicans, that movie, it wouldn't work. But I have heard people say they saw it, and they actually absolutely loved the movie, and probably in bigger numbers than most people suspect. But if Romney simply tells the truth, which I don't view as an attack, he's got plenty of material to work with, and it can work.
Okay, so that leads us to the next question. What does he need to attack Obama about?
Oh, my goodness. The laundry list is incredible. And also, one other thing, like, I think the conservatives will come out and vote for Romney, because while they may not be wild about him, I think just like you and I think they see the danger that Obama represents. It scares me to death what he's going to do in the second term.
Well, he's already said what he'll do. He told us he signaled his punches nine months ago. He said, when I'm reelected, he was going to reward Russia. Remember that with Medvedev?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, do I remember that. And the thing that gets me is,
so, you know, you don't have to be an Einstein to know what he's done. Poverty is rewarded. Success is punished. Our worst enemies, like the radical Islamists, are treated like friends, while our friends like Israel are stiffed. He uses the military as a pawn. Listen to what he did to the Navy SEALs. Our borders have descended into chaos. Corporations and cronies that give him money make off with all the wealth. I mean, just stick to those themes as spelled out in Trickle Down Tyranny, and Romney would win. They're not even radical statements.
American voter or conservative is smart enough to realize that it's not an attack, no matter how much the liberals would scream about it. I think they would recognize that as the truth. I trust them enough with that.
Okay, I hope so. Two more U.S. troops killed by an Afghan soldier shot in the back. It's going on every day. And again, I want to reiterate, one of the underlying problems between the U.S. troops and the throwbacks in Afghanistan is the fact that they are torturing dogs and puppies. They're beating children. They're raping children in Afghanistan. And our clean-cut American boys are sickened by it. And they're telling them that they're repulsive. They have bad morale. They're lazy. They have repulsive hygiene. They torture dogs. They have cruelty towards women and children. And our boys are saying that. They're saying it to the Afghanis. They're saying it to their higher-ups. And guess what's happening? They're getting shot in the back for it. But you don't want to hear any of that. You want to hear, what do you want to hear? I know. I guess my job is to tell you what I want you to hear. That's all. I want to go back to Neil Armstrong for a minute. I watched, I don't know what the movie was, but it was so stirring. I caught it by accident toward the end of the day with actual footage of Armstrong landing on the moon in Apollo 11 on July 21, 1969. Frankly, I was too young to even understand the importance of it. Do you know that? I look back. How old was I? I don't even remember. I was in my 20s. And I really didn't, I mean, I kind of liked it that we were the number one country in the world in space, you know, exploration. I was proud of to be an American. I had no idea that that would be the zenith of us as a nation. I had no idea that from that point on, it's been all downhill, hoping that this is the perigee under Obama and that we bounce back when we put a real American in the White House. I hope so. I truly hope so. But when you think how we've gone from Apollo 11 to Apocalypse Now under Obama, it's actually frightening. But listen to what Neil Armstrong actually said. A few small steps for man and a few giant steps for mankind. What did he say? The words were amazing. I don't know if he thought them up or he had written them in advance. I don't even care how he did it. Unbelievable. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That's a giant of a man, and he died, you know, the other day. He died the other day, and every American student should be required to understand the genius, the guts of the astronauts, especially Neil Armstrong, what a pioneer he was. And when you think about it, and it's all in your lifetime these things have occurred, to think that we wound up on the moon with men like him. But you have to go back and look at the men inside Houston Space Center. And you have to take a look at their faces and their intensity. And they all looked like they were U.S. Marines in their intensity and commitment to the job. You know, there was no EEOC in those days. You know, there was no ADA in those days. You understand that they just hired the best and the brightest they could get. They didn't pay attention to sexual orientation, race, gender, and things of that nature. They hired the brightest engineers they could find. They didn't try to make it look like a coloring book for a publisher to try and show how PC they are. And we wound up on the moon. Let's listen to it again.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The LAM footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches. I'm going to step off the LAM now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
That was astronaut Neil Armstrong, who was on Apollo 11 on July 21st, 1969, as he spoke words that will live in human history. I watched a repeat of that over the weekend. Frankly, I'll be honest with you, I'm a sentimental guy. And I found myself choking up watching Neil Armstrong, looking at Houston, looking at the men in the Houston Space Center, looking at the intensity of the men in the human men inside the Space Center, listening to them, watching them, and realize that was the, I guess that was the height of America's prominence in the world. And look how far we've come, I thought last night, from Apollo 11 to Apocalypse Now under Barack Hussein Obama. I could not believe how far we have fallen from a nation that led the world in such travels to a nation that elected its first communist president who gutted NASA. Gutted NASA, killed the program that takes people to the moon. I don't know how many different ways I have to tell you what an unmitigated disaster Barack Obama has been for the United States in the 3.5 years of his phony reign. What is astonishing to me is what a bad job Mitt Romney is doing in articulating the danger this man has put us in. That's right. You heard me. Oh, I'm going to vote for Romney and Ryan because they're an alternative to the communist regime that we have in the White House. I use the words very carefully. You see, I'm an educated man. I'm a student of history. I've written many best-selling books, many of them you know. The fact of the matter is, I'm entitled to tell you what I think is going on. This is one of the greatest scams in the history of America itself. How a naked Marxist could be elected to the presidency, surrounded by some of the richest and most powerful people on earth, and get away with his socialist slash communist policies without such notice is astounding to me. But we go back to Neil Armstrong landing on the moon. I watched it, and I didn't weep, but I was choking up. Actually, I just came back from my boat ride. I go out on Sunday, and I was lying on the sofa watching TV. I don't know what movie it was. It was a replay. This man was one of the greatest of Americans. Every American school student should be required to watch the footage of Neil Armstrong landing on the moon and the words he spoke. The words he spoke, the words that Nixon spoke, and the pictures of the men inside the Houston Space Center who put him on the moon. All those incredible technological geniuses inside the Houston Space Center. And now compare it to the America of today. Compare it to what we have descended to. Let this be the perigee of America. When we finally throw the Chicago gang out of the White House come November, let every American know that we finally went to the perigee of our existence. Certainly not the apogee of our existence. It's the perigee of our existence. But that brings us to the Republican National Convention. I wouldn't go there even if I had been invited, and I was invited to broadcast from my affiliate in Tampa. God bless him. But I personally, I don't care about conventions. I've told you for weeks now, I have raged against these conventions. R&D. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent for a party for apparatchiks to throw balloons in the air and to use prostitutes on, whatever. We don't have to spell it out. With the invention of the telephone, there was no longer a need for a convention. You see, political conventions were originally established so that the men who ran America could come in on a horse and throw their vote behind the candidate or nominate the candidate. In the invention of the telephone, there was no need for it. It's astounding to me how we just can't change. No, I wouldn't really want to be there. I myself would rather spend 2 weeks cruising Opa-Locka in a 78 sedan, dragging a tailpipe which is shooting sparks, listening to 8-tracks of Mantovani music, even swigging Lest Oil from the bottle and sniffing furniture polish, then spend a minute at any political convention. But then again, I'm not your normal talk show host. I'm just another American who's seen what's going on and is worried about what's going on. If you'd like to comment on any of these topics, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Frankly, I'm very pessimistic, extremely pessimistic. This was the Republicans' election to lose, and lose they may because of the tepid nature of this campaign. You hear me? Did you hear what I just said? The tepid nature of the Republican campaign is just liable to see us with the second regime, the second term of this communist regime. It was the Republicans to lose, and lose it they may. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. My website has all these stories in a way at michaelsavage.com. Frankly, if I were the czar of education, I'd make certain that every American student watched the movie tape, the videotape, whatever they were using. There was no video then. I guess it was, it was video of Neil Armstrong and his crew landing on the moon. And especially the words he spoke, which were amazing, and the faces of the men in Houston, in the Houston Space Center. That's worth watching to see the intensity of the men inside the Houston Space Center. And guess what? Shockingly, they were smoking cigarettes in a workplace. That's right. They were allowed to smoke cigarettes in a workplace while they were intensely landing astronauts on the moon. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Neil Armstrong was so great in that he had the guts and the brains to land on the moon. Why did Obama destroy NASA? Why did he end the space program? So you can't have those embarrassing questions. in an unfree society. The most important thing to remember is that you're not in a free society. You're in a mini police state and an unfree society where embarrassing questions are not permitted. Here's a news story, since I have to do news every once in a while. Future San Francisco Archbishop, future SF Archbishop arrested for DUI in San Diego. Oh, no, just what the Catholic Church needed. Bishop Salvatore Cordiglione speaks during a press conference, and he was due to take the reins of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of San Francisco. Was arrested early Saturday morning on suspicion of drunken driving, according to the San Diego Police Department. Well, maybe it was sacramental wine. I don't know if that gets you off. Maybe I should put out Savage's sacramental wine in a bottle. I mean, if he gets off because it's sacramental wine, think about that. I could make another fortune selling Savage's sacramental wine. You can carry it around. You can drink it and say you were performing a sacrament. You know, that's how that would work on the way to Sacramento. You need to perform a sacrament. Actually, you need to perform something more than a sacrament on the way to Sacramento these days under Jerry Brown. You need to perform a levitation. Future SF Archbishop arrested for DUI. Oh, God, just what they needed. You know, it's interesting. You say Archbishop, it's a big position, right? But you look at it, and you see that the Archdiocese of San Francisco oversees more than 500,000 Catholics in San Francisco, Marin County, and the Peninsula. I have a bigger audience than that every 15 minutes, I think. Do you realize that? Do you have any idea that talk show hosts are more influential than archbishops? So you could say I'm an archbishop of talk radio. No, I'm a little bit of giddy, you know. I have a tiny bit of a giddy mood going. It's Monday. My family, my whole family's away. They're in the Mediterranean. Would you believe it? You know why I didn't go? At the end of the day, you know why I didn't go? For you. You're not going to believe me. I say I don't like traveling. It's true. I had this and that. It's all true. But that's not the reason I didn't go. You know why I didn't go? Because I knew you wanted me here this week for the Republican Ninny Convention. You needed me here for the Republican Ninny Convention. Even if I'm going to be a little sarcastic toward the ninnies at the Republican Ninny Convention, it's better than me not being here, God forbid.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday.
Right, so you're working about 7 months out of the year to pay for the fat bureaucrats in your city, in your state, and in your federal government. Now, those are considered revolutionary words in America today. I could be arrested for saying it. But let me repeat it. You're working about 7 months a year so that the fat bureaucrats in your local town, city, state, and federal government can have nice, fat retirement funds, nice, fat vacations, and many, many visits to the doctor at your expense. Welcome to America under Barack Obama. Now, whether Romney will change that, should he be elected, and I hope he is elected, is really the question. I don't know whether many people understand this, but psychologically, I would guess that the reason Romney has not surged, you know, why it's neck and neck and this and that, given that Obama is such a disaster as a president and so disliked, and given that Obama has made so many mistakes, given that Obama is the most divisive president in American history, and given all the questions swirling around Obama all the time, why is Romney not surging? And I'm sad to tell you it's because I don't think conservatives trust Romney totally. They don't completely trust Romney. They're afraid that Mitt is really a social liberal, being that he's from Massachusetts, and his background would indicate that he's a social liberal. And they would say, all right, I'll put that aside if. Well, what's the if? If he's a fiscal conservative? Is Romney a fiscal conservative? I don't know. Well, I put that aside if. If Romney would be strong in the military. Is Romney strong in the military? Well, I don't know. Well, I'll put all that aside if. If what? If Romney would be willing to restore America's preeminence in space exploration. Is he? Did he say anything about restoring funds to NASA? We don't know who Romney is. At the end of the day, we don't know who Mitt Romney is, other than a lifetime politician who's wanted to be a president. And that's his problem. That's his problem. We have the most divisive, incompetent president in American history, the most disliked president in American history by a large, large number of Americans, probably by a plurality of people. Don't like Obama. They don't trust him. They don't like his imperiousness. They don't like his disconnectedness. They don't like the trips he and his wife have taken all of these years. They don't like him kowtowing to dictators and spitting in the face of our allies. They don't like many things that Obama's done, so it should have been easy for the Republicans to elect someone who was by now ahead 5-10 points, but he isn't. And the reason he isn't is because we don't know whether we can trust Mitt Romney to be even a moderate conservative. Let's put it to you that way. So let me ask you, the Savage Nation, since this is the third largest radio show in America, and I have more of an audience than the Archbishop does, I have a larger audience than any Archbishop in America does, so you have to remember that. And I'm giving you only one man's opinion, as an archbishop does. Now, he quotes the Bible. I can't say I quote the Bible for my opinions. I quote the books I've written and my own common sense and my own life experiences. But it's still, at the end of the day, is one man's opinion. And so given that it's only one man's opinion, my opinion, that counts on this show, my opinion is that I need you to call this show and tell the millions of people who may be listening over the course of the next hour or so, what it is Romney needs to say or do between now and the end of the campaign in order to get him over the finish line ahead of Obama. What is it? Tell me what he needs to do. So let's begin with some of the callers. We have great callers today, as usual, on the Savage Nation. Let's start in Albany, New York. Ralph, welcome to the program.
Michael, I've listened to you for years. You're the greatest. One quick comment on your last caller, Chris. He was right. We should forget about where Obama lived before. It's where he lives now that is our problem. So with respect to your question about what Romney ought to do, there's a number of things. The administration is doing things which the media will not cover. For example, they're arresting veterans and putting them into mental institutions for things like cleaning their guns on their back porch. In Virginia, 20 to 30 SWAT team guys, I understand, surrounded a house because a neighbor called about a vet from Iraq who was cleaning his gun on the back porch while he was sitting there with his wife. He was
well, how about the 23-year-old Marine who was arrested last week and thrown in a mental hospital a la the Soviet Union because of anti-government statements he made on his own Facebook page, and none of them were threatening. They were just filled with contempt for the government.
Exactly. And, Michael, the kids in grammar school are being taught that it is a crime to talk about President Obama or say anything bad about him. And we're all at risk here. And the fact is that some of these, I understand there's been over 20 of these arrests, and that some of these people are unaccounted for who have been arrested. Incredible. That's what Romney ought to be doing, talking about this kind of stuff. Get some guts and tell him exactly what this guy has been doing and what he's done to this nation and what he will do if he's reelected. What he'll do with taxes is incredible.
Well, what will he do? Has he said anything about what he will do with taxes?
Well, if you make over $250,000 a year, you're going to pay 40% more right off the bat.
We know Obama is punitive towards the successful because he resents them unless they give him money like Harvey Weinstein or Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg in L.A.
If you make $100,000 a year, Michael, if you make $100,000 a year, you're only going to get a portion. You're going to wipe out the sales tax deduction on your income.
Wait! I want to know what Hold it. Does anyone know what Romney said he'll do about income taxes?
Oh, I misunderstood you. No, I know what Obama's going to do. I don't. That's your right.
See, you just answered my question. We don't even know what the so-called fiscal conservative Mitt Romney will do with regard to federal income taxes. We have no idea. This is the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. The most invisible. It's unbelievable to me that the people are letting Romney get away with this. That's what I fear. How's that?
He's gone, Michael. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah, that's right. And if we lose this election, you may as well kiss the USA goodbye. That's how I see it. Oh, it'll still be here, but it will not be what it is. It will be a shell of its former self. What Obama has done to so many proud agencies like NASA, he will gut everything that gives us our pride. Everything that gives us our advantage will be gutted by the next iteration of this regime. Okay? What do you think Romney needs to say or do? I'd like to know. That's all I'm asking you. It's really simple. Texas, Gregory, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, sir. People in this country are chomping at the bit. They wish it was tomorrow we went to vote. We all know who this man is. We didn't know 4 years ago. The people of this country hate what he's doing in this country. And do you actually think conservatives are going to sit home and say, well, he's too moderate. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to take my chances with 4 more years of Obama, knowing that he's going to destroy this country? He told the Russian guy.
Well, you see, Gregory, I think you're speaking from the perspective of Texas as a Texan. And Texas is a great state, probably one of the best states in the country. I love Texans. I get along with Texans, even though we don't speak the same language. I have to have a translator when I speak with a subscript. But truthfully, most Americans are a little confused about Romney, and they don't even know the difference between him and Obama on so many important issues. That I think, needs to be articulated, frankly. And that's what Romney needs to do, and I don't think he's doing it. So I'm asking the listeners again. And if you haven't been able to get through, there's a line that just opened at 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. This is Chris Christie speaking about Jerry Brown at the convention.
The Jersey side take a risk on a conservative Republican governor in a blue state. And California made a bad choice by going with an old retread who, let me tell you this, I cannot believe you people elected Jerry Brown over Meg Whitman. Want to be insulting this morning because it's early and I got plenty of time to be insulting the rest of the day, but I want to tell you, Jerry Brown, I mean, he won the New Jersey presidential primary over Jimmy Carter when I was 14 years old.
Plain speaking, gutsy, says it like it is, doesn't mince words. God, are we dying for someone like Chris Christie? But all they did was give him a slot at the convention. They didn't even give the man the vice presidential slot. Now, we understand that they may have offered it to him and he may have rejected it for fear that Romney would lose and he'd have to give up his governorship. I've read all of that. As I said earlier, I'd rather spend 14 days, 2 weeks cruising Opa-Locka in a 78 sedan with a dragging tailpipe shooting sparks, listening to 8 tracks of Mantovani, swigging lest oil from the bottle and sniffing furniture polish, then listen to one politician at a political convention. That's why I'm on the radio here in California. I'm Michael Savage.
Savage.
You have an extremist in Obama. And moderate guy in Romney. And people are afraid of moderate in a time like this. Nevertheless, okay, what's the choice here? See, this is not a normal Democrat-Republican campaign. This is a socialist/communist versus Republican campaign. That hasn't been articulated by the Republicans. If John F. Kennedy were alive today, he'd be considered a right-winger by today's Democrat Party movement to the left. Do you understand that? I've said this for over 10 years. If JFK were alive, they wouldn't even let him in the Democrat Party. They'd call him an extremist because he loved America too much. They wouldn't even let him in the Democrat Party. He would never be a Democrat. JFK could never be a Democrat. Now, these are the kind of words that can be polished a bit and used by Romney during the campaign. I have terrible fears about the debate for a couple of reasons. Look at the left-wing fanatics and operatives they've selected to be the moderators. There's not one conservative moderator. Now, how did the Republicans permit that? It's a setup. See, again, I go back to my primary fear is that Romney's a fall guy. He may not even know it. Why do I say that? Look at his campaign, number one. Number two, his chief campaign advisor voted for Obama in 2008. You don't know that, but now you know it. Number three, the Republicans did not have to accept that baggy-eyed Bolshevik Jim Lehrer as a moderator. Again, the very same sub rosa leftists again are going to be moderating this debate? How? How is it possible? Why was there not one conservative moderator picked for any of the debates? How did the Republicans let that happen? There's only one answer to that. They wanted left-wing operatives like the baggy-eyed Bolshevik, Jim Lehrer, to be one of them, and the others whose names I don't even remember. They're all far-left fanatics in the media, and yet they're going to moderate. You know what questions are going to be asked. They're going to make Obama look good and Romney look bad. They're going to bring up tax returns. They're not going to bring up college transcripts. They're not going to bring up illegal aliens because that would embarrass both candidates. It's sickening. Sickening. But you see, if Romney was a skilled orator, he wouldn't even need their questions to get in the answers that he wants. Because no matter what they asked me, I wouldn't answer the question. I would do a Reagan on them. I would smile and say, that's a very interesting perspective, but that's not the question. Here's the question I'm going to answer. And then they would interrupt him and say, but Mr. Romney, we're the moderator. You have to answer our questions. I'd smile at him and say, well, you see, but you're not running for president, sir. I am. And this is far more important than your agenda. And so here's the question I'm going to answer. America would jump to its feet. They would thank God we had a man with more than two legs in his pants, to be perfectly blunt, and pardon the burlesque. Anyone ever swig less toil in the youth? I didn't. Did anyone ever sniff furniture polish other than the campaign advisors for Obama? I didn't. But I know that there are people who are Democrats today who had lots of fuzzy hair when they were working as campaign advisors at NYU. You, here we are. So what do you want to talk about? Have we done enough Romney and Obama, or could we go on now to something more important? Do we have any callers from anywhere in America other than the normal? What's in the news? Let me go to my website and see what I put up on my website. Celebrating Neil Armstrong's great feat back in 1969, one of the greatest of Americans, from Apollo 11 to Apocalypse Now under Obama is what we're talking about. And I've asked you a question of what does Romney need to do in order to come out ahead during the campaign and especially during the debates. And I don't know. We're getting answers here and there. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so. As I suggested, and of course, you know, it's all guesstimates. I didn't think Isaac was going to hit Tampa, and I was right. You know, now it's saying it's a second Katrina. You know, they always like to panic you. I mean, what are they? We got loose screws in the media that think you believe everything they tell you? 1-800-449-8255. What must Romney do? Ann in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I would like to see Romney put on his businessman suit and to draw on his proven track record at turning businesses around, to treat this country as a business where the shareholders. I want to see a prospectus. I want to see specifics, not vagaries.
Well, that's very well and good, but the country is not a business. It's a nation which has a soul and a heartbeat of its own. And although I agree with you up to a point, I believe that we need a candidate who talks about the soul of America rather than treat the country as just an accounting sheet. Thank you for the call. As I've pointed out in book after book, we need an inspirational leader, somebody to inspire us with regard to our citizenry, regard to the greatness of our nation, respect for the past, hope for the future, hold up some of the great figures from the past as examples of who we should be looking backwards to in order to look forward. We need leadership, not just an accountant. Obama, of course, has neither a characteristic. He is neither a leader nor a businessman. He is a complete and total product of the media. He is a total product of the media. He's an invention. He is a complete and total invention. That's what Romney needs to say. You're an invention. What have you ever done? See, if Romney said, you know, you may criticize me, Mr. President, but at the end of the day, what have you ever done? Have you ever created a good or a service that anyone's ever needed? Come on! That's the kind of stuff we need to hear. New York, WOR, Sergey, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's Sergey. You just asked what Romney has to show to American people. I used to be not a very strong supporter, but supporter of Obama. And I tell you what really actually turned me away from Obama. In 2009, when Obama was on his tour to Muslim countries, there was a picture on media showing him bowing down to and kissing a hand of King of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, King Fahd. Really, he kissed King right? Fahd's hand. That's right. The RNC should be running that picture.
I was really shocked because Saudi Arabia said 19 of his citizens to blow up a World Trade Center, right? And he is the man, he's the president of the United States who going down to, you know, to the king who's basically sent his people.
All right, so why don't the Republicans show those pictures of him bowing down to the king?
That's
everywhere this man has gone. Have you noticed he's bowed down to dictators around the world? Have you seen that?
Well,
all right, thanks for the call. Well, I think I have the explanation. Here's a study that just came out, which is shocking that they'd even publish it. Headline, teen pot use linked to later declines in IQ. Teen pot use linked to later declines in IQ. Now, we know Mitt Romney never smoked marijuana, but we know from Obama's own autobiography, he loved this stuff. That could explain it. Teens who routinely smoke marijuana risk a long-term drop in their IQ, a new study suggests. The researchers didn't find the same IQ dip for people who became frequent users of pot after 18. So I think one of the campaign questions should be, Mr. Candidate, have you ever used marijuana? Romney would say no, because he's clean living. And they'd say, Mr. President, at what age did you start using marijuana? So if he says after 18, we can breathe a sigh of relief. But if, God forbid, Obama was using pot at Punahou earlier than 18, we're in trouble. Study participants from New Zealand were tested for IQ at age 13. Da-da-da-da-da. Who can read this garbage? I don't know. But we know pot's the most dangerous of all drugs. I've told you that over and over again. Pot is the most dangerous of all drugs because the fact of the matter is it's a gateway drug. It leads children into the world of subterfuge, hiding, sneaking, etc. Now, the argument would be, okay, well, then make it legal and they won't hide and sneak it. Well, you want to say the same thing about prostitution? That every daughter should become a prostitute? So she doesn't have to hide and sneak away? And what are you people, crazy?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I think reefer madness should be required watching in high school. I think every child should be forced to watch reefer madness. You'd have modern actors in it if you want. People who started using marijuana persistently before 18 risk losing some of their IQ by the time they're 38. Yeah, but under Obamacare, they can stay at home with mommy at least till 26. Remember Nancy Pelosi said that because of Obamacare now, we can cover children till they're 26? Children, you hear this? Maybe if he gets a second term, they could raise Obamacare and call you a child at 38 to help you get through the doldrums of marijuana use. I think 26 is too early to cut off people from Obamacare. I think that children should be allowed to just test themselves, explore, see what they want to do with their lives till they're 38, 39, 40. Stay at home with a hairnet, go clubbing all night, get a government check. I think that there should be government checks for clubbing in Obama's second regime. I think they should cut checks to children who live at home with parents up to the age of 40. You got to cut it off at some time. But there should be a little stipend, a little extra, a little kick for the clubbing at night and things of that nature. Because, it's expensive to go to clubs today. New York, WOR, Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I think Romney needs to reinstate NASA. This is, the biggest blow. This is the greatest organization in the history of the world. And
why am I the only talk show host who's been talking about it? I wrote a book with a whole chapter on it. Obama castrated NASA, destroyed NASA, has put our astronauts on as passengers on a Russian space craft. Do you know that? He's turned our space explorers into second-class citizens. He's made our astronauts ride the back of the Russian bus.
Well, this is sickening. And Romney,
well, what Romney needs to say is, Mr. President, why did you make our astronauts ride in the back of a Russian bus to the moon? Why did you do that? You should explain that to the American people. He'd bring the house down. Don't you agree with me?
Absolutely, Michael. He's got...
All right, well, I don't want to go on and on, because most people, if you ask them what the most important thing in their life, they don't even know what NASA is. They think it's a sort of suntan lotion. They'll say, is it NASA 15 or NASA 17? They would think it's like SPF. They have no idea what NASA means. They're so ignorant of what's actually going on that NASA, to the average American, has no priority whatsoever. Space, schmace, you know. Schmace, space. So, I don't know. It's a rough call right now. I'm shocked, though, that Florida seniors have warmed up to the Romney-Ryan ticket. And they say it's about benefits because, as you well know, seniors care only about themselves. And, well, who doesn't? But at the end of the day, but seniors care more only about themselves than most. You know, Medicare, Medicaid is all they care about. The bennies. So they have enough money left over for the gambling casinos. Look, you can't ask a senior to spend their own money in a gambling casino. You got to give them as much freebies as you can so they can go to Atlantic City, an Indian gambling casino, and sit there with a cigarette in their mouth and a cup, throwing quarters or whatever they throw into the machines. I mean, that's a noble retirement for an American, isn't it? To work all your life to sit in front of a machine with a handle. That's the sine qua non of civilization, to go to a gambling casino at age 75. But, you know, since it's a nation of free choice, if that's what you want to do with your life, you can do it. I just think the government should consider giving you a stipend, a gambling stipend. Maybe they think Romney's going to give them an Indian gambling casino stipend. Then if I'm elected, I will give each of you $100 a month to gamble with. End of the day, what do you think happened down there? They know that Obama is probably sympathetic towards Muslims. How would they figure that out? Let's start with kissing the hand of the king. Let us start with spitting in the face of Netanyahu. Let us start with bringing about an Islamic revolution in the Arab Crescent. You know, I mean, they're not stupid. They didn't become seniors living on the grift by being dumb. How do you think they hit 75 and aren't working? Haven't worked for 30 years. How do you think they did it? They're not all dumb. They know how to work the system. They learned it in the old days. So the thing is, they're not stupid. They know what's good, you know. So they have likes and dislikes. Are you finally awakening to the fact that I'm talking to you on the Savage Nation today? I'm going to have a whole week of this. I'll go insane by Thursday, till he actually speaks. Today is Monday, and they didn't even give a speech yet. The only one who gave a speech so far was Chris Christie that we had. Kind of good bashing, Jerry, but at least somebody understands what Moonbeam has done to California. Play Chris Christie, both of them, back to back.
The Jersey decided to take a risk on a conservative Republican governor in a blue state. And California made a bad choice by going with an old retread who, let me tell you this, I cannot believe you people elected Jerry Brown over Meg Whitman. Now, listen, I don't want to be insulting this morning because it's early, and I got plenty of time to be insulting the rest of the day, but I want to tell you, Jerry Brown, I mean, he won the New Jersey presidential primary over Jimmy Carter when I was 14 years old. And now I got to sit at the National Governors Association with this guy and have him come up to me and say, Governor Christie, stop telling people that I want to raise taxes. I'm not trying to raise taxes. And I said, yeah, you are, Jerry. And he said, no, Chris, I'm not. I'm going to put it on the ballot and let the people decide. Man, that's leadership, isn't it?
So, good speech, but you know, there's a reason we in California didn't elect Meg Whitman. Even those of us who didn't vote for Jerry Brown were very, very disenamored of Meg Whitman. Do you know why? Exactly why I fear Romney will lose. Do you know that Romney's campaign is being managed almost in an identical manner to that of Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina? Do you know that? Middle of the road, not one word about the horde of illegal aliens sucking the state and country dry. Not one word about issues that are important to voters. It's all about personality, personality and elect me because I have business experience. It's a disastrous campaign. It's been the worst campaign I've ever seen in my life. And that's why he hasn't surged ahead of a candidate who was the most unpopular, divisive president in America, in his modern American history. I have to repeat it over and over again until you finally understand the bad shape that Romney really is in. Doesn't mean I'm not going to vote for him. I will, but I've got to tell you something now. I'm going to say it again and again. Praying to God that somebody wakes up Romney to the fact that his campaign advisors are running him off the rails. They're running his campaign almost point for point the way they ran Whitman's campaign, and she lost by a huge margin to this throwback, Jerry Brown. Why did she lose? She should have won. The conservatives in the state begged Whitman to take on the most important issues of the day, taxes, illegal immigration. She wouldn't do it. She thought just smiling and telling us about her success story would be enough because that's what the idiot advisors told her. And Romney's doing exactly the same thing. Do you understand why I'm worried? I'm known as an independent in the radio business. I've been independent since 94 when I started, before anyone even knew what it was. We know that Romney is not a conservative, but we're going to vote for him on the assumption that we're going to get something for our money. But when you start hearing them throwing the election to Ann Romney, here, you take it now, Ann, to show how nice he really is. Tell us what he did. Oh, well, let's see. He ironed his shirt, and he did the laundry this morning. Okay, I got to vote for that guy. You know, any man who irons his own shirt, any guy who does the laundry, that's my kind of leader. Forget China and Russia. We need a guy who can do the laundry. Forget a guy who can stand up to Putin or the president of China, if you want to call him a president, the dictator of China. Forget a guy who might be able to stand up to the Islamists who are shooting our troops in the back. No, we need a guy who wears an apron at night and does the laundry. That's what we need. See, she's reinforcing the stereotype. She's reinforcing the stereotype of a guy who wears an apron at home. You remember that movie? I don't know if anyone ever saw this movie. It's been played so many times, it doesn't matter what generation you're from. Rebel Without a Cause. Anyone remember that movie with James Dean? It's very famous if you're a film buff, right? It's an interesting story I'm about to tell you. I won't bore you too much with it. I'll bore you just a little. I'll give you a little bore. In that movie, Rebel Without a Cause, it's about a teenager who's a rebel. And he's rebelling, and no one knows why he's a rebel. And somewhere in the middle of this brilliant script, they show his father wearing an apron, played by Jim Backus, who was a super actor. And the kid goes out disgusted. He throws the milk down and runs out of the house to go get drunk and drive around up in the planetarium in the L.A. Hills. What was the metaphor there? What were they trying to say? That the rebel of the 50s was rebelling against the milquetoast father. He had no father anymore. The father disappeared. He became like a Schmendrick wearing an apron. A weak father, nice father. Jim Backus was a nice enough man as a character, the father of James Dean in that movie, right? The James Dean character. But he was a weakling, so the son hated his guts. Sons want strong fathers. I don't know if you know this. Sons don't want a father who wears an apron. Sons really don't care if you iron your shirts. Okay, if you do it, that's a different generation today, I understand. It's not a big deal to throw laundry into a machine. But it's not something you boast about. It's something that's collateral to your existence. It's something secondary. I'd rather that Ann Romney said that, well, Mitt was out at the range this morning practicing with his Winchester. Because Mitt still likes that old single lever, that lever action rifle of his, which his dad gave him when he was a boy in a farm in Michigan. Ah, you're talking. We don't want to hear he's wearing an apron and doing the laundry. Am I making sense to you finally? No, no one's listening to me. They're listening to Meatloaf Jr. If ever I heard like a government, you know, it's like the equivalent of the Democrats. So, I don't see any servants around here. How come that is, Mrs. Romney? Gee, I wonder who wrote that question for that little twerp. He's not one of my favorite broadcasters. I don't like his eyes, incidentally. I didn't like his father. I don't like him. I don't like him even more, incidentally. Meatloaf Jr., I call him, whatever his name is. What's his name? I don't even know what name he goes by. What's his name? Chris Walachensky, you know him as Chris Wallace. I affectionately call him Meatloaf Jr. because his father, may he rest in peace, as you well know, was arrested in New York City because he threw a takeout meatloaf job at a guy giving him a ticket. They never heard from him again. Then Meatloaf Jr. suddenly becomes a big star on Fox News. He's got weasel eyes, like weaselly eyes. I don't trust him. I don't like guys with weasel eyes.
Savage.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for...
It is the one and only Savage Nation, the most independent radio show in the United States of America. I almost said the USS of A, but okay, I'll hold off on that one. It's not yet the USS of A. It's close. It's not yet the Union of Soviet Socialist Americans. But we're very close. We're about 65% there. John Boehner, remember him? The Speaker of the House, the guy who kind of sounds like he's on a perennial scotch high, a combination of scotch and Chesterfields. John Boehner gave a kind of slurry speech where he said that most 99% of his colleagues, including the Democrat socialists under Obama, are decent, honest people who are trying to do the right thing for the country. So now when you understand why I am jaded about the political system, do you understand finally why I've called them Democrats or Republicrats since 1994 when I began a radio? Do you have any idea why? Now, look, don't mistake what I'm saying to you. I will vote for Rigid Mitt. I will vote for Rigid Mitt because anybody but the socialist Obama, let's put it to you that way, as I spell out in Trickle Down Tyranny, my last best-selling book, 1-800-449-8255. If you're a new listener, you get to the head of the line. Because I know what happens. Like around these times, you get new listeners who are not political. They tune in. They say, "Oh, what's he talking about? Who should I vote for? What's he, blah blah blah?" Now, I myself must tell you that this morning I was cleaning out a dustbuster. I've been using it, and it's not working very well. I don't use it that often, and it wasn't working well. So I took it apart, and as I took it apart, I was watching Fox News, and there were two girls on it with blonde hair arguing over nothing. Talking about nothing. It was much ado about nothing. They're nice girls. I'm sure they're very nice girls, both of them. But they were sitting up there talking about nothing. Turned the TV off, and I thought I'd rather clean a dustbuster. Am I the only American left who understands that these conventions are not only unnecessary, they're embarrassing? Democrat or Republican, embarrassing with a capital G? Embarrassing. Embarrassing. With the invention of the telephone, there was no longer a need for a convention. Conventions were originally held, as I explained to you, in the age of the horse, when representatives had to ride by horseback to a convention to nominate a candidate. But along came Alexander Graham Bell. And presto, we had a telephone. They could have called in their vote. There was no need for it. Unless it is to get drunk and, you know, roll like pigs in the trough. And, of course, there's the usual rent-a-protesters, Code Stinko, and the others that were saying end the war, even though it's Obama's war. They don't even know who's fighting the war anymore. The professional agitators are there, like Code Stink. Code Stink is there, even though the Democrats are running the country, and it's a Democrat president, and we're still stuck in Afghanistan. They're attacking Romney for the war in Afghanistan. I love that one. Well, I don't know what you want to talk about. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. If you never visited my website, michaelsavage.com, it's waiting for you. The headline story is interesting. Headline says, actress hopes hurricane kills every, quote, every pro-life, xenophobic, gay-bashing SOB at the RNC. Now, that's a woman who you don't remember anymore. Her last movie was made in 1984, Ellen Barkin. Ellen Barkin. She was hot in 1984. Now, I have a theory as to when they become more psychotically leftist. And it's a quotient. If you remember your mathematics, the lower the derriere, the LD, the lower the derriere, the higher the ID, the higher the LQ. The lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient. If you do that mathematically, you'll see it's always true. It was first noticed with Goldie Hawn. The lower her derriere went, the higher her liberal quotient rose. It's the same now with Ellen Barkin. When no one pays any more attention to them, their last gasp is appealing to the most vile elements of the so-called progressive food chain.
Savage.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
What's going on in Afghanistan is enough to make any man weep. Our troops are being shot in the back by the Afghani vermin. The minute they're given weapons, they're turning them on our troops. And what I'm about to play for you should make every man demand that General Allen, who's commanding the troops in Afghanistan, be thrown out of the military. Not only relieved of his command, he should be thrown out of the military. This man is fit only to work for Rahm Emanuel in Chicago as a caterer. I want you to listen to the top general in Afghanistan after someone's sons were shot dead by the Afghani vermin. Listen to clip two. You're not going to believe it.
We're trying to understand what may have caused in each case, but also in the aggregate, why these attacks have occurred and why they have increased in number in the last several weeks. May have something to do with Ramadan. It's a very tough time for these forces, and in particular this year in Ramadan, as it is known in most of the Muslim world, Ramadan fell in the middle of the fighting season.
So now he's justifying why the enemy murderers shot our men in the back, but it gets even more nauseating in the next clip. Listen to this. Wait, you're listening to General John Allen, who Obama made the top general in Afghanistan, taking the side of the enemy after so many insider attacks against our troops. Listen to this creep next.
The daily pressures that are on some of these troops, compounded by the sacrifice associated with fasting, the nature of our operational tempo, remembering that Afghan troops have gone to the field and they have stayed in the field, and they've been in combat now for years. We believe that the combination of many...
Shut up! Just get him off my show. If General Allen had been in charge of the military in World War II, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. That quisling, turncoat, SOB, this is the lowest I've ever heard. I've never heard a general speak like this. This is an example of the corporate mentality that has permeated the military. This is an example of what happens, when you purge the military of the genuine warriors, and what you're leaving are these dopes, these corporate dopes, who would be better off running a shoe store than running the military. Our boys are getting shot in the face, shot in the back, killed, coming home in body bags. And this General Allen says these insider attacks are a result of the stress of Ramadan fasting. That would be the equivalent of saying the reason the Germans are killing our troops, lining them up in 1941, 42, after they capture them and executing them, is because of the paganism, the pagan holidays that Hitler was famous for celebrating. That there was a lot of stress during the pagan rituals. They had a fast while Hermann Göring was eating a stuffed boar. And the fasting and the rituals of paganism that Hitler was imposing were just too stressful for the SS, and that's why they executed our troops. See, if we had a real commander-in-chief as opposed to the candy store dummy that we have there, John Allen would be fired today. He would be called home immediately. All right, there are other stories, and my blood's boiling. I hope yours isn't. Again, anyone who's lucky enough to clear my call screen or hit on the Savage Nation gets to talk to more people than they'll meet for the rest of their lives, and they're going to win a copy of my best-selling book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which is a very important book because the subtitle is Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Answer a question. Please answer this question before I go clean out the dustbuster during the break again. I need an answer to this. I mean, I'd rather pump water out of the bilge of my boat than watch this. I have a question for you. Why are the Republicans going to rely upon Ann Romney to save Mitt Romney? The most disastrous mistake I could ever imagine. She is not running for office. She's not running for the presidency. She almost killed him altogether by going on Meatloaf Jr.'s show and having the foolishness to say that Mitt ironed his own shirt this morning and did the laundry. Oh, my God. In an age of Islamofascism, a rising Russian bear, a snarling Chinese dragon, what we need is a president who does his own laundry. It's unbelievable to me. You know, I'm so agitated from what I'm watching over the last few months. I've gained weight. I'm putting weight on like crazy. I'm starting to look like the Robert De Niro character in Raging Bull in the last scenes when he owns his little, you know, seedy nightclub in Miami, and he put on 80 pounds for that scene. That's an amazing story. He's one of the greatest actors in history. I hate his politics, love his acting. Why is that, that some of the finest actors on earth are the most psychotic leftists? How does that work? I'm eating organic popcorn with a touch of extra virgin olive oil. U.S.-grown organic corn is air-popped to crunchy perfection with a gentle hint of antioxidant-rich organic extra virgin olive oil and sea salt. Enjoy. I hate when they tell me to enjoy it. Organic extra virgin, produced in a facility that handles milk, wheat, soy, peanuts, and Democrats. Everyone's allergic to something. Unbelievable to me. I'm allergic to Democrat socialists myself. I can eat peanuts. I can eat soy. I can eat tree nuts. I can't take communists. I don't know about you. And here we have a general justifying why our troops are getting fragged by the enemy. Right? The popcorn is good. It's supposed to be good for you. The Indians, look what it did for them. How good the corn was for them. Really advanced them. They were here 40,000 years. 1-800-449-8255. That's the history of civilization. One group comes in, they kill off the other group, or they push them off the plateau. We're getting pushed off our plateau now by the Mesoamerican invaders. And many of the libs are cheering them on, saying, yeah, it was theirs to begin with. Right on. Let all of the Aztecs have it back again. Yeah. Yeah, give California back to the Aztecs. And as their hearts start rolling down the pyramids, who will be there to protect them? Certainly not the U.S. Marines. There will be no Alamo left. Yeah, let the Aztecs have the country back. It was theirs to begin with. Yeah. So as you can see, I'm all over the map today as usual. Given that I don't have ADD, I'm just as sharp as a tack and everything's bothering me today. It's so awful to watch this. I'm disgusted by Romney's middle-of-the-road campaign. I'm disgusted by the media. I'm disgusted by Obama's communism, which is being hidden by the media. I'm disgusted by General John Allen saying that the spike in attacks on our troops is a result of Ramadan fasting. I'm disgusted by John Boehner saying that 99% of his colleagues are honest people trying to do the right thing for the country. Does that include Nancy Pelosi, John? Does that include Barbara Boxer, John? Does that include Dianne Feinstein, whose husband's wealth has gone up about tenfold since she became a powerful senator, John? These are decent, honest people, John? If we still had an independent FBI, if we still had a J. Edgar Hoover, I can guarantee you these things wouldn't be happening, this insider trading. I can guarantee you. And by the way, since we're talking about offenses against my sensibilities and yours, how come John Corzine has never been charged or indicted for the loss of over $1 billion from MF Global? You know, actual people lost money and actual people made that money. Where'd the money go? How much of it wound up in the hands of politicians?
Savage.
You're listening to the Code Stinkers singing outside of the Republican convention as if to imply that the human rights that they wish doesn't exist in America. What I wish is that Code Pink would go sing that in Islamabad. My only dream is that Code Stinko would sing that outside of Beijing's party headquarters. My only hope is that Code Pinko sings about human rights in Syria, or Code Pinko sings about human rights in Saudi Arabia instead of bothering me with their fastidious insanity. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Of course, we are focusing on the inspiring Republican convention, which, of course, we could have phoned in the nomination. We have no idea why they're holding these conventions anymore. We know they cost hundreds of millions of dollars. The only people who are there are party apparatchiks. And I heard there are 1,500 journalists from around the world looking for scandals, hoping to get a Prince Harry a story of a Republican throwing a sofa out of a window, or better yet, running nude through the hotel lobby. Boy, that would be a winner, wouldn't it, for them? Somebody from Reuters. They caught a Republican, like, in the wee hours of the morning running naked through the lobby. Gee, that would be a big score. That would really advance Western civilization. So we have excerpts from Ann Romney's convention speech. Let me start by saying this. I like Ann Romney as a person. I mean, I don't think she's as much of a Barbie doll as Bush's wife was. She chilled me. Whatever. Laura Bush was a Stepford wife. Let me put it to you that way. Laura Bush was a Stepford wife, and I didn't warm up to her, okay? Laura Bush chilled me. Ann Romney looks like a warmer person to me, just as a person. But she has no place giving a speech, in my opinion. I think it weakens the candidate that he needs to hide behind it. Mommy's apron strings. And I know it's going to be more, kind of high school-y pappy garbage. When Mitt and I fell in love, we were determined not to let anything stand in the way of our life together. Hallmark number one. I read somewhere that Mitt and I have a storybook marriage. Well, in the storybooks I read, that's hallmark number two. A storybook marriage, no, not at all. What Mitt Romney and I have is a real marriage. Now, what does that have to do with a man leading America out of the morass we're in? Can anyone explain this to me, why we're going to listen to this drivel? At every turn in his life, this man I met at a high school dance has helped lift up others. He did it with the Olympics when many wanted to give up. Hallmark number four. This is the man America needs. Hallmark number five. So it's Hallmark cards. I mean, if you're into greeting cards, you're going to love Ann Romney's speech. One thing you got to say for the First Lady, Michelle Obama, is that being the Lord of the Fries, as she is, she's true to her calling. I mean, she is the Lord of the Fries. There's no question about that one. 1-800-449-8255. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'm being a little lighthearted about things. I mean, if you want me to get heavy, then you won't listen at all. I mean, I'll read my textbook for you, Trickle Down Tyranny. Then you'll say it's too much. Rothschild's quote is, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws." I was talking about George Soros. How come there's not been one word from one speaker about the puppet master of Obama, George Soros, the most dangerous man on the planet, in my opinion, the most power-mad man on the planet? How come there's been not one note, not one word about the corruption within the Democrat Party? Not one word about the scandals from Solyndra to the $900 million loans to senators and congressmen's wives and husbands that Obama has been engaging in. Not one word about the thuggery coming out of the unions. Not one word about the hordes of illegal aliens who are eating us out of house and home as though we're a free buffet where it's all you can eat and you pay nothing at the door on the way out. How come not one word about the threat of Islamofascism? How not one word about our troops being shot in the back by the Afghani throwback vermin? How come not one word about all of the things that are so near and dear to our hearts? And let me tell you something else. I'm Michael Savage. If you ask me who my political hero would be in the regular mainstream political arena, there's only one person who comes to mind, and it's not Ronald Reagan. I was not a Ronald Reagan fan. He did certain things to farmers, which I will never forget. I was much younger then, and I had no party affiliation, which I still don't, incidentally. I'm just a conservative, so I'll vote for Romney. I want to be clear about that. I will never vote for this communist regime again. Never. Because if you think it's bad now, you've seen nothing yet. Well, we're going to look like Eastern Europe with one salami hanging in the butcher store if we get four more years of this guy. So, yeah, okay, be clear about what I'm going to do. But there's only one candidate, and it wasn't Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a good guy up to a point, only up to a point. I don't like the idol worship of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan destroyed the family farm in America. I studied it in great detail during those years. I myself was going through great struggles, and I saw what he did to many family farmers. They shot themselves as their farms are being auctioned off. But I don't want to go into those details. Barry Goldwater was my guy. Now, I want you to get Barry Goldwater's famous one-liner. It's a two-liner. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me if you wouldn't like to hear this tonight. Listen.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
This is inspirational. This is intergenerational inspiration. That is what we need at a convention. Not Hallmark cards, not balloons in a time like this. Do you understand why I have such angst and why I'm overeating during this period of time? Do you have any idea what this is doing to me physically and emotionally to have to even focus on these people? They're good people. They're nice people. They're not my kind of people. I wouldn't hang out with Republicans. I certainly wouldn't hang out with Democrats. I prefer a 10-pound poodle myself. But the point is, I'm not a regular party guy. I don't go for this kind of thing. I don't know how people do this for life. This is their whole life. It's they're like, you know, they're like the kids in high school who ran the GO. Remember them? I had nothing to do with them. I was always an outsider. I was always in the little cafeteria, not the big one. They were always the goody-two-shoe people. I guess you need them to run, you know, the civic stuff. But, I mean, do you really want to hang out with people like that? I don't know. That's what this reminds me of. It's like almost like enough already. Can't we just get on with it and vote? You know what I'm saying? Why are we paying attention to these conventions when a telephone call or an email could have nominated Romney? It's over. He was nominated. Now let's go home. Give the money to the poor. Go out in the streets of Tampa and give out the money that you're going to save by closing it down. I know what many of you are thinking, which is if he doesn't stop bashing the Republicans, we're liable to lose the election. I know how most people think, but that's not my job. My job is not to sit here as a cheerleader for the Republican Party. First of all, I am not a Republican. I'm an independent conservative, and they're far too meek for me. They're far too middle of the road for me. There's no passion there. There's no emotion there. They're not going to take on the issues of the day that matter to me personally as an American, such as the hordes of illegal aliens coming over the border and sacking our treasury, sacking our schools, sacking our hospitals, sacking our very country itself. They're not going to take on the issue of Islamofascism, which is one of the greatest threats to our survival the world that we've ever seen. It is the greatest threat. In fact, I want to go into this for a moment. Carl Jung, one of the founding fathers of psychology, wrote this about Hitler in the late 1930s. Now, remember, I'm quoting him in case your sensitivities are that of General Allen. Carl Jung wrote, "We don't know whether Hitler is founding a new Islam. He has already gone some way towards it. He resembles Muhammad. The German emotional world is Islamic. They are all acting as if intoxicated by a raging God. That may be our future history." Hitler liked Islam. Hitler liked that. He didn't like Christianity. He thought Christianity was weak and flabby. Hitler did. Well, he found out how weak and flabby we were. Thank God our grandfathers weren't weak and flabby. We know that Christianity is the only hope for the world. That's right. Now, so you say, well, there's a clear choice here. We have Obama appoints a quisling like John Allen. Who is Romney going to appoint? What is Romney's position on the threat of radical Islam to Western civilization? We don't know. Probably has no position. Probably no position. All you're going to hear is jobs, 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 and Ann loves me, and I do my laundry. Why should I get excited about a convention that holds no merit, no mental merit, no intellectual merit, no emotional merit, no spiritual merit? And the same is going to be true for the Democrats. So they'll have younger, you know, musicians who are junkies playing. They'll have some of the, you know, B-class sluts out there from Hollywood. All the A-listers are afraid to go there because they know Obama's so unpopular and it's liable to affect their bottom line in the movies, because you, the moviegoer, is liable to say, you know what, I'm not going to that person's movie. I am not going to ever go to a movie again where Sean Penn appears in it. Never, since he's such an America hater. Or I'm never going to go to a movie where Robert De Niro appears because he's such an Obama worshiper. Or Al Pacino or any of the rest of them, which I don't understand. They portray tough guys who are conservative from the West Village, and yet their politics are that of pinkos. How does that work?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
...449-8255 is my phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Things are good. Life is good. People are wonderful. Business is great. And I'm... New York, Lou, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I think you were a little too harsh on General Allen out in Afghanistan. If you listen to what he says, he was actually, in my opinion, only educating us as to what to expect from the religion of peace. I mean, this sounded like normal, you know.
No, he didn't say that. He said that as a result of fasting, they killed our men. They shot them in the back. That's what he said.
Part of the religion, and, you know.
Wait, hold on. Part of the religion is to shoot Americans in the back?
No, it's to fast, but the outcome of that, based on the totality.
Yom Kippur, they go and shoot their commanding officer in the back?
I don't think so. I haven't.
No, I don't think so. I don't think in the IDF, if the religious Jews fast for Yom Kippur, suddenly they get insane and shoot their officers. No, I don't think that works.
I might yell at my wife or something, but that's about it.
But wait, what does your wife have to do with a commanding officer in the desert?
I'm talking about slight irritability, perhaps. I've been there.
all of the breakdown of the lipids. To me, Judaism is a religion. It's not something to be joked about. And either you're religious or you're not religious, but the claim you're culturally Jewish or culturally Christian or culturally this or culturally that is not the same as saying I'm religiously this or that. And, you know, that comes back to the religious issue with Romney. One thing I respect him for is his Mormonism, and I'm not a Mormon, but I've done business with Mormons when I was in the herbal business 20 years ago. I used to fly up to Salt Lake City, and I'm going to say it again. I have never been cheated by a Mormon. How's that? Let me start with the basics. They are the most honest, reliable people I've ever done business with on earth. And I think it's true for everybody who's ever done business with Mormons. So in that regard, I really trust them. That's a big statement. You know, it's a very important point. They're honest people. They're clean living. Of course, there are a few who don't, but so what? That happens. But by and large, they're clean living, wonderful people. And I think that's a real plus for Romney, and he should play up his religion. I would like to see Obama really get honest about his religious beliefs, because if he had a Muslim father, which he did, a biologically Muslim father from Kenya, then he was raised by another Muslim father in Indonesia. The mother married another Muslim man. And then he went to a Muslim religious school as a young boy. There's nothing wrong with having gone to a Muslim religious school as a young boy. It doesn't mean he became a radical anti this or that. But why can't he cop to it? Why does he have to say he has no Muslim roots? Half of him is Muslim, at least. He was raised, he was inculcated, he was steeped in Muslim ideology. He studied in a madrasas, for God's sakes. I would welcome a discussion of Islam's finer points from Obama, if there were ever could be such a thing. I doubt it with the communist moderators that were picked. I have so many callers. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. They're good callers, but I think I lost you already. Did you hear John Boehner? I couldn't believe this. Let's hear clip four. You're not going to believe this.
I don't clip see any four, major four. Changes in this platform from what we've had in the past. And if it were up to me, I'd have the platform on one sheet of paper. You know, have you ever met anybody read the party platform?
Right.
I've not ever met anybody. It ought to be on one sheet of paper.
Guess I got to tell you,
if you had a party, I was on this.
Three sheets
about,
to the wind and one sheet of paper. Know, that's what we need.
8 or 12 years ago, that we ought to have a one-page party platform. That way, Americans could actually read it. I might be willing to read it.
Well, that was Boehner in one of his most inspirational moments. Here it gets better in clip 20. Clip 20 now.
I know my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And while there may be differences between some Democrats and Republicans, I can tell you that, you know, 99% of my colleagues are decent, honest people trying to do the right thing for the country.
Does that include, let's see, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer? Who else is a 99% pure, like Ivory Soap? This is now you understand why the country's finished. Not one word out of his mouth made any sense nor of any meaning. So I see that Ann Romney is going to be the big speaker. And look, God bless her. She's a wonderful woman, but she's not running for office. She's not running for office. And I think that Prince Harry streaking the stage would be a better lead-in than Ann Romney, frankly. I mean, you talk about attracting attention. Maybe they can have Prince Harry run across the stage. Just streak the... Well, you could see why I wasn't invited to the floor of the Republican National Convention. Tea party, stay outside and drink your tea. I'm surprised that John Boehner didn't hold up a cup of coffee and say, I like coffee, I don't like tea. You know, but he really has a nice gravelly voice. He sounds like a guy on a bender. So here we are. Justin Peters, a female Florida pastor, credits prayer group for sending Tropical Storm Isaac away from the RNC. This you're not going to believe. Listen to clip 22. You want to hear madness?
We have had lots and lots of people praying around the clock that it would move. And if you watch from the very beginning where they were saying it was coming and now where they're saying it's going, then it has really moved out of the way for us. And we appreciate God doing that and moving it for us.
God bless her for having such faith, really. I don't want to be around it when a Christian school bus turns over and falls off a cliff and 16 children die. See, that's the one thing I can't get into. I'm a God-believing man, but I don't live in fantasy that God controls everything because then we're not free, you know, we have no free will. Now God moved the storm away from Tampa? So it was God who first moved it towards Tampa? Then it was God who moved it away from Tampa? So why did God move it towards Tampa to begin with and cause such an upset? How do you explain that one? And what, so he wanted people in New Orleans to get killed during Katrina, that God wanted them to die? Oh, my God. Where does this end? It's like everything is Margot. It doesn't make sense to me. Get the revival tent, you know, step right up. Crazy. Just crazy, the whole thing. It's very hard to keep your mind when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. But remember the great poem, If, by Rudyard Kipling. Been out of favor for 100 years now because he was too nationalistic. Rudyard Kipling wrote a great poem called If, and one of the couplets is incredible. If you can keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, why, then you'll be a man, my son. Now, that's how I feel most of the time. I try to keep my head while all those around me have lost their mind. Everywhere I turn, it seems the Republicans have lost their mind. And they want to get elected now. And they want me to support them. Could you play Peggy Sue? I have a few minutes left in the hour. I want some rock and roll thrown in. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Donna in New York on double. Oh, you got it already? Come on, give him some music. I'm not a Republican. You're allowed to play music. Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallics. I love you, Peggy. New York, WOR. Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm a new time listener. My brother Rob has got me hooked on your station, and I started reading his book, and it had to be absolutely disgusted.
Wait, I'm missing. You're listening to me in New York City on WOR, of course, but you're reading which book?
The Trickle Down Tyranny.
Yeah, that's okay. And what do you think of Obama now that you know who he really is?
I'm just getting through the book. I'm not happy.
Yeah, see, the problem is most Americans are too busy to pay any attention to what's actually happened to them. But you're going to get rewarded. You're getting a free copy of the book so that you have your own copy. Notice the American. I don't want to read from the book right now. Just, you know, I don't want to do it. I'm just too agitated. I've been eating too much popcorn. I watch a lot of movies at night. I got to admit it. I'm so tense from the show that I take a bike. Did I tell you what happened to me? Someone rang my doorbell. Can I tell you, do I have the time in this hour to tell you what happened? I never, ever answer the door to a stranger. I live behind locked gates, doors. I move around from house to house, city to city. because the Democrats are so trusting and accepting of diversity of opinion that I have to kind of keep my, you know, my head, you know, over my shoulder at all times. Guard dogs, alarms, loaded guns, you know, that kind of thing. A normal American life, in other words, under Obama. I don't know why, what possessed me. I was cooking a lonesome dinner of spaghetti with tomato sauce. That's all. I had a cheap bottle of wine, New Zealand wine. I got it the night before. I loved it. So I bought it again. I got a headache like you can't believe. I returned the rest of it today. I'm going back to beer. Anyway, I'm cooking spaghetti. I let the guy's at the door. And he says, I'm not here to harm you. I said, oh, great. I reach for the air light, right? I mean you no harm. So I looked down through the security camera, and I saw he had, like, sandals on and barefooted. He sounded Middle Eastern. I said, okay, so who are, he said, I think my father sold you the house. I said, oh, my God, he's the kid from Finland that was living here. It was a little kid 10 years ago. I let the kid in. I gave him a glass of wine as I cooked my spaghetti. He lived in this house that I'm in 10 years ago, and he moved back to Helsinki. He's just visiting. And he's studying Tibetan Buddhism, and I told him about my years collecting plants. I never do this. In my life, I never do it. Never, ever would I let anyone in. But why did I let him in? I have no idea. But there's a reason for it. I don't know what it is. I guess you have to be a Buddhist to see the reason.
Savage.
I'm sorry. I can see why I walk around frowning. I'm not a smiler myself. I don't like men with fixed smiles on their face. They worry me. There's something loose in their brain. I scowl. People say to me, why do you scowl? I said, because it's terrible out there. It's awful. The world's horrible. And it's getting worse by the day. I know that you're supposed to be like, oh, it's great, man. The Republicans are going to win and save the world. You really believe that, huh? Let me put it to you this way. If they keep this up, something bad is going to happen. Sacramento, Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I think you just said what I'm going to say. As a 24-year-old Republican in the Bay Area, I'm always saying, you know, at least as a Republican, we know business. You know, we know how to get things to turn around. But the current Republican who's who has absolutely no idea what they're doing. So
I mean, right. Let's say no, they really. That. And I got to say, Scott, I agree with you. I agree they're going to be Obama light. If Romney wins, you're going to get Obama light. You think he's going to actually change the course of the ship? I don't anymore.
Well, I'm joining you in Cuba with those sugar fields. But what's going to happen
now? Scott,
now?
You see, young guys like you know that I'm the number two show in the world on radio, on the internet. You know that, right? And it's mainly younger listeners who listen to me on the internet. I'm the kind of guy that they're listening for on that stage, and they're not getting it. They're getting like GO people from college, from high schools that you never listened to. You were probably the kind of kid who was not in the GO, I would guess.
I was the kind of kid that just kept quiet because I grew up in the East Bay in the Bay Area, and every time I said I disagreed with this or I disagreed with that, I got 38 stares in school like I was crazy. But what I really
I know. So you're trying to be a rational. A conservative Republican voter as a young guy, and you take a look at the nauseating visages coming off the stage, and you're afraid to identify. You don't want to identify with it, is what you're saying. You'd be embarrassed to, because you're afraid that your Democrat friends are going to say you associate with that guy. That's what you're afraid of, right?
What's going to happen now is on the nightly news.
But the worst part of it, why would John Boehner give a speech that was so disorganized and so drunken and so discombobulated? It made no sense. Okay, I did a parody on John Boehner with the bar and all of that, but I was doing it because I was nauseated by it. Did you find his speech as upsetting as I did?
I find everything about the man, to the point, the way he looks, the way he speaks, and in that speech he said, I have a big job. No, Mr. Boehner, you have a small job, and it's represent the citizens, and he's not representing. So what we need to do is...
Scott, here's what you need to do. Listen, slow down. Here's what you need. Everyone listening to the show should go home, look for their dust buster, and clean out the filter. It would probably be more interesting and better on your ears than listening to John Boehner. I'm Victor Kiam, and I say... Well, you remember him? He was great with the raises. Hey, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny to show you I can be serious as well. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to New York City. WOR Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael.
I was one of the first guys that called you up when you got onto WOR. I was Chuck the Dentist. You probably don't remember, and I don't expect you to. I just want to briefly tell you that I thought you were, like, unbelievable with the, hey, you know, with the Indian buffet. Tonight, though, you caught me in the middle of my salad and my beer. Oh, my God. I was just reeling over. The dressing, the Newman's Own, was practically coming out of my nose. I couldn't hold it. Hilarious, man. Unbelievable.
Well, because I'm this is how I work out my pain, is I kind of turn it into humor. I always did this since I'm a kid. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we lose our sense of humor, we're all finished. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. You are one of the most funniest, miserable.
Hey, look, dentist, I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because I know you're not going to go out and buy it. Dentists are very frugal. I got to tell you that. The kids I knew who were the most frugal went to dental school. I don't know what it was. It was something about the retentiveness and the retention and retaining and retainers. Because, in other words, if you really want a good retainer, you become a lawyer. That's what you do. Now, you don't become a dentist. Because let me remind you of something. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you of something else. Be awfully nice to everyone you meet on the way up, because you're going to meet them all on the way down. That's Jimmy Durante. I never forget that one. That was a great line for people in the entertainment business. He was wonderful as a kid. I don't know, it was a different world. People were more good-natured about their differences because we didn't have outright communism. We had two parties, okay, Democrat, Republican, you know, they're business guys, all of them. And if one could hoodwink the public and win, okay, the other kept them in line. But it wasn't as vicious. And the reason now is that you have basically a communist regime running America. They have hoodwinked the American people, hijacked the American dream. And then you have a tepid middle-of-the-road Republican Party, afraid to say it like it is for fear that they'll lose the vast middle voter who doesn't know what's really going on. So their strategy is one of utter and absurd caution, by the way. Caution, caution, caution.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What's your opinion? Pittsburgh, PA, Brian, thanks for holding. You up in the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, it's an honor to talk to you. I want to let you know that I absolutely agree with everything you said. You know, a guy like me that's a former Marine officer, small business owner, is going to pull the Republican lever. But there's a lot of other uninformed people out there that aren't, so they don't want to seem too extreme. I think it's the wrong tack when you have your enemy on the road.
Let me, this is very important. I heard what you said about the Marine service. You are an American hero. Anyone has the guts to go over there and fight those throwbacks, those barbarians, those child rapists, those women beaters, those animal torturers, is my kind of person. God bless you. But let me ask you, who are you going to vote for?
I'm going to vote for Romney. And I'll tell you, I'm going to vote for Romney because of the fact that I'm going to hope that he can fix some of the systems in this country that work like he's done for a lot of businesses. But what I don't understand is why we're trying to mediocritize this guy. I mean, do you really expect me to believe that his wife that showed up wearing an $800 T-shirt a couple months ago is going to be the same guy that ironed his own shirt tonight? I don't think so, and I don't understand why.
Well, you got to say this. You got to at least understand that while Ann Romney wore an $800 T-shirt, it wasn't as bad as Michelle Obama wearing a $5,000 sweater in France.
And I don't care that they have that money, but Michael, I just want to let you know that I think of you as a friend. I hope someday I get to meet you. I just rolled into town from my 30th class year reunion with my boys JJ, Jeff, Tim, and Wim McConnell, and we're here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a little town called Sharon, a bunch of former military guys and all long listeners of you. They can't believe I'm on the radio with you.
Well, how many guys are in that room right now?
Well, listen, we're in a little bar, and my boys here are, we've got Jeff, former Navy guy, Timmy, small businessman, JJ, lives out in Arizona, and Wim McConnell, small town, stay behind to do things right and change a little liberal town we live in and make it a good, strong,
so what, smaller so there's
town.
What is that, five of you? Did I count five?
Yes, five of us.
Okay, you're getting 5 free copies of Trickle Down Tyranny. You better tell those guys to read the book. Guys, make sure we say send 5 hardcover copies to that wonderful, wonderful band of brothers. See, I've got listeners here and there. I've got listeners. Go talk to them and see what they think. And look, this will be over, and many of you are going to never listen to me again. Some of you may listen for the first time and never stop listening. As many of you are going to leave me for thinking that I'm doing the wrong thing, there are those who are going to be saying, you know, it's exactly what I'm feeling. No one else is saying it, but they should be saying it. Look at what happened with the ratings now from last night, TV ratings. That tells you an awful lot. A show on some the Learning Channel about rednecks and a baby, Honey Boo Boo, beat the Republican National Committee, combining all the networks. It just shows you the mind in the country. The TLC series hit another high in its 4th episode, nearing 3 million viewers and topping cable news and broadcast new network coverage of the RNC among adults 18 to 49. Honey Boo Boo ratings topped the Republican National Convention. I say, what am I getting excited for? The people are that dumb. What are you worried about? They're that stupid. They can be hoodwinked again by the welfare giver in chief. That's the whole point. Well, anyway, I at the end of the day, the show will come to an end. I'll turn the TV off. I'll turn the radio off. I'll take a break. I'll walk my dog. I'll come back after dinner and I'll watch the speech. And then at night it'll be over. And then pray to God I'll be able to have a night's sleep. I haven't slept all week. I'm getting up in the middle of the night. I remind myself of the Martin Sheen character in Apocalypse Now. Remember that one? Where he wakes up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night and looks in the mirror because he can't believe what he's watching. The Republicans, it was their election to lose because they were winning. There was no way to lose this election. We have the most corrupt, incompetent, anti-American band in the world running the country, and it's anyone can see it. Anyone with a pair of eyes who's not on welfare sees this. Every business owner wants him out of office. Every military man wants him out of office. Every cop and fireman should want him out of office. And yet, look what they're doing. They're not selling themselves. They're not doing a good job of selling their message, because I don't know what the message is. It's got to be more than jobs, jobs, jobs. Where's the inspiration is all I'm saying. Give us something with guts and glory in it, for God's sakes. Say something that makes a man want to get up and salute the flag, for God's sakes. But I don't hear it. You tell me that the people running this campaign are not shafting Romney. Are you telling me that whoever it is behind Romney is not trying to undermine him? Are you kidding me? Why would Romney even let Newt Gingrich on the stage? What's the thinking behind that? Why would he let Santorum on the stage after that man ripped him to shreds? For weeks on end, I couldn't watch it. It was excruciating to watch that. There's only one reason. And it's a horrible thing to see and say. I have said it so many times, which is that the 1918, or was it the 1919 World Series, was fixed by the gangster Arnold Rothstein. So put two and two together, ladies and gentlemen. 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs. And you've only had 3.5 years of this Dem. You're going to get another 4.5 years. Some miracle has to occur.
This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
Okay. You ought to make my day. All right. I'll start it. You finish it. Go ahead.
All right.
What do you want me to tell Romney?
Thank you very much.
I can't tell him to do that. That can't do that to himself. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. You're getting as bad as Biden.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank God Eastwood, Rubio, and Mitt saved the day. After 2 days of generic eunuch talk, I was so encouraged. For the first time, I said, oh, thank God. Eastwood was unbelievable. He is such a consummate performer. He had the audience in the palm of his hand. It's amazing, of course, that the little men and the Lilliputians and the media are attacking him because he dared take on the Anointed One. Rubio and his story, his grandfather, his father, moved me, frankly, emotionally. And even Mitch showed tremendous skills in reaching out and touching people. Now, I have to tell you something very positive on the Savage Nation about you, the audience. They are listening to you. They are listening to Michael Savage. Who was it in the media who said, Mitt, go to Louisiana. Go to the flood. Go to the flood. Obama, get off the campaign trail. Who is it who said that? Me. Who is it who said on the show, don't talk about your Mormonism. You don't have to do it. Remember, there were rumors that he was going to apologize, basically, for his religion. I said, don't go there. I heard from someone very high up, of course, I'll never disclose who, that they heard this. It was given to Mitt, and they listened to me. They listened to you. They know you're very important to his election. They dropped the Mormon talk, and they went right to the flood area. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I can ask you some very poignant questions, and I probably will do so shortly, but we're going to continue to play Clint Eastwood's speech, Marco Rubio's speech, and Mitt Romney's speech. They were astounding. They were just the medicine that America needed right now. So Mitt's going to the flooded area to show solidarity with the people who are underwater, while Obama suddenly at the last minute said, yeah, I'm going there too. Well, what's Obama going to do there in the flooded region? Maybe he can set up some windmills for them. Maybe he can bring in Nancy Pelosi to set up solar panels, and the people can convert the solar panels into rafts. Or maybe Obama can be investing in some algae plants while they're flooded to convert it into fuel. And then he can put motors on the solar panels so the people can basically motor away from the flood. That's about all he's good for. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Frankly, it's not just Louisiana that's underwater. It's not just regions of that area that are in a disaster area. I think that Mitt Romney ought to declare the entire nation a disaster area after what Obama's done to us. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Great day to listen to some of this talking, these talking points. They are listening to you. I was told they're listening to you. They heard you. They know you count. They know you were fed up with the generic eunuch talk. And they came out and they saved the day. It was like watching Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, and take someone else and throw them in there all in one day in a World Series. Now, I never knew much about Rubio. I wasn't impressed with him. I didn't know who he was. I thought they were just using him because he was a guy with a Hispanic name, with a story to tell. I was shocked at how good this man was. And one piece in particular is so amazing to listen to. Marco Rubio in clip 24. Listen to this carefully.
I remembered my father, who worked for many years as a banquet bartender. He was grateful for the work he had, but that's not the life he wanted for us. You see, he stood behind a bar in the back of the room all those years, so one day I could stand behind a podium in the front of a room.
Unbelievable. One unbelievable story. Astounding story. And by the way, Romney should have picked Rubio to be his VP candidate. Nothing wrong with Ryan. Ryan's a little cold. He's just a basically conservative, economic type, fiscal conservative, probably another social liberal, as the entire Republican camp is. But nevertheless, Rubio has a better story than Ryan does. Rubio, keep your eye on him. This man has a huge future ahead of him in the Republican Party. I would not say he can't be president. I would say Rubio can be president. I would say Rubio will be president one day. That's my opinion. He's fabulous. Lovely. Listen to clip 23 now.
Bartender. My mom was a cashier, a hotel maid, a stock clerk at Kmart. They never made it big. They were never rich. And yet they were successful. Because just a few decades removed from hopelessness, they made possible for us all the things that had been impossible for them.
It's beautiful. It was unbelievable. I mean, it touched me in the sense that I came from an immigrant family. I've tried to tell you that story many times, but frankly, as eloquent as I can be sometimes, I think that Rubio has better speechwriters than I do because I don't have speechwriters. This was a polished speech because it's based on reality. It was beautiful. And I was very impressed with it. But there's a negative, there's a sort of shadow to this whole good story. And the shadow is this, and I guess, again, I have to be honest with you. Clint Eastwood was so damn good. I wound up laughing and cheering and saying, thank God he came out and saved them. He did save them. Turned it around. And yet, Ann Romney goes and basically stabs him in the back. Now, I got to say something right now. She's taking too prominent a role. She's having a little too good a time. She's like the girl at the wedding who won't get off the platform and she keeps dancing. She's not running for office. Mitt Romney is running for office. If I have any advice to give the Republicans, it's Ann, take two steps back. You're not running for office. Moreover, I don't like her undermining everything that was gained. She goes on to the Communist Broadcasting Service, CBS, and they start putting her on the spot, and she basically slaps Eastwood around like he was not really good for them. This is unbelievable to me. Listen to clip 44.
Do you wish that video had aired in primetime instead of Clint Eastwood's monologue?
You know, I think it's important that people do see that side of Mitt. We appreciated Clint's support, of course, but it's so hard to really get...
All right, it's enough already. Enough already. The laughter I don't like. I've had that all my life. Oh, he's a wild, crazy guy. Oh, he's unique. No, ma'am. He's a giant. He's a genius. He's an American icon. Nobody knows you, Anne. He did you a favor. He bailed you out. And you got to stop slapping him around. He's the best thing that ever happened to the Republican Party. And I resent it for one. And frankly, I'm going to ask you, the listener, on the Savage Nation, because apparently the Romney team has someone listening to this show. They're desperate for every vote. They finally found out that in addition to the felons and the illegal aliens, there is a core conservative base of about 10 million people listening to the Savage Nation. And they know that you weren't too happy with the eunuchs. Well, we're happy today with Eastwood, Rubio, and Mitt. But here's the question. Do you think Ann Romney should step back two paces from this campaign and get off the front of the stage? I'm thrilled that Eastwood, Rubio, and Romney himself saved the day. That's the positive news. But the issue that's troubling me is Ann Romney. I don't like the prominence that she is taking. She is enjoying herself a little too much. She thinks she's running for office. She is not doing him a service as far as I am concerned by playing such a prominent role. And frankly, I'd like to hear from women, women only. Do you think Ann Romney is playing too prominent a role and that she ought to step back a few steps and let her husband shine? She seems to be competing with him. She seems to compete with him everywhere and in every way. She seems to be on every show. And as though she's running for office. I mean, when I go to vote, is it going to say Barack and Michelle Obama versus Mitt and Ann Romney? No, it's going to say Barack Obama D, Mitt Romney R. I'm sick of this. I don't like it. Something's wrong. And I love women. I think women are great, but she's not running for office. I'd like to know why she's basically giving Clint Eastwood a little offhand jape here. Listen to clip 46, how she's set up by the Communist Broadcast Service host.
You seem to be surprised by Clint Eastwood's performance as the camera took a cutaway of you.
I didn't know it was coming. Again, I can tell you we're grateful for everyone's support. And
all right, that does it for me. The country club woman. You know, I've been around women like that all my life. I don't like them, to be frank with you. If I don't like them, you could just imagine what poor people are feeling. You know, Miss Perfect, like he's some weirdo. Clint Eastwood, an American icon, a world icon. Ann Romney, no one will ever remember. And then instead of saying we're grateful for Clint's support, she adds another stab in the back. We're grateful for everyone's support. In other words, he wasn't even there. Because the communist liberals didn't like him. So already she's in their camp. No good. No good. Sorry. I have the most attuned ear in the history of the American media, and I am telling you, somebody who's listening to me in the Eastwood campaign, in the Romney campaign, you've listened to me. You told Mitt not to apologize for his Mormonism. He didn't. I said send him to Louisiana. You sent him to Louisiana.
I'm telling you to talk to Ann and tell her, wonderful woman, just take a deep breath in and step back 2 paces. Let your husband shine. Stop competing with him for the spotlight. Am I wrong or right? That's what I want to know. Sacramento, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, just a quick note that when I heard Mitt talk about Neil Armstrong, that's all I could think about was you and the things that you said the days before. They're listening. Keep it up.
Yes, they are listening. I heard several things that I know from higher-ups were entered into that little shindig last night directly from this show. They understand that you represent millions of voters. If they're looking to shake the tree for every last voter, they can only disrespect you for so long. So, but the issue now is, what advice do we give him about Mrs. Romney without getting him angry? I mean, a guy like him who's had a co-partner his whole life, maybe he'll take offense at it. But I am telling you, well, no, let me put it this way. You tell me, you tell America, women, what do you think? Okay, what do you think? Chris in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Well, Mike, I think she's trying to micromanage her husband, and she should stay out of it. He's a smart man. Let him do his vision and go forward. Now, what Clint Eastwood did to us, he's an American hero.
Could you believe how the guy's timing and the jokes when he looked at the empty chair? That was one of the greatest pieces of performance art I've ever seen on a national stage.
Off the top of his head.
Well, I don't know, it was off the top of his head. It was pretty well done. Somebody worked it out with him in advance. The guy's a genius. He didn't get where he is as a director and as an actor, working his way up from spaghetti westerns to where he is today because he doesn't have a sense of a theater. This was the greatest theater I've ever seen. And for Ann Romney to go, ha, 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 I'm sorry, it really turned me off. That's how I feel about it.
Savage.